too. I mean, obviously, it depends on how the game goes, too. If it's a horribly officiated game, there's 1,000 turnovers or something, then that's one thing. But if Texas were to just decidedly be a better team, then that would be, that'd be pretty devastating to the fans trying to buy in for A&M. Like I said, a first-year coach at Texas, and Kennedy's, you know, has this team. It's an upperclassman team, tons of experience, in his fifth season. If you can't, I mean, if that's why I think they've got to beat them. So that's why I said the schedule comes out tonight. No one cares. The only thing that matters for A&M right now is well, I mean, Texas, I guess it'll be where do they play
Alabama? It's weird almost because their games against the Big 12 teams are more important than the games against
absolutely.
SEC.
Because if they have trouble in the SEC,
at least when you're visualizing it.
Because if they have trouble in the SEC, they're done anyway.
Yeah.
So anyway. Someone said, Shaka Smart, first-year coach. No, you didn't. Oh, he is a first-year coach.
At Texas.
Yeah, it's his first year at Texas.
That's what we're talking about.
Anyway, all right, we got to go to the big break. When we come back, platoon systems at quarterback. Let's talk football. Kroom, Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
Like the Zone FM, the Zone HD, or Sports Radio 1150 by visiting facebook.com/zone1150. You're listening to KZNE, KNDE HD3, and KNDE HD4, K274CM, College Station Bryan. Sports Flash.
I'm Jay Berman. The drama known as Deflategate continues. According to reports, Tom Brady open to accepting some sort of suspension in some form. The problem is he'll only do it if he's going to cop to, if you will, failing to cooperate with the NFL rather than admitting to the Wells Report findings. So clearly a big difference there from the Brady part of things. Apparently, Judge Richard Berman has set an August 31st hearing, which both Roger Goodell and Brady must attend. Despite a hamstring scare, Bills running back LeSean McCoy expected to be ready for the team's regular season opener against the Colts. Panthers receiver Kelvin Benjamin was carted off the field after a non-contact leg injury. Jets down a quarterback after Geno Smith took one off the jaw. New York ready to bring in free agent Matt Flynn. In fact, they did so and made it official today. All right, let's get some baseball in here. We do have one final on the board. Yankees come from behind to beat the Twins today 4-3, finish off the sweep of the Twins in the Bronx. Rookie Greg Bird, not one, but two home runs, both of them two-run shots. There's your offense. It's the first two of his brief career. Top of the sixth inning in Milwaukee, Brewers have opened up a 7-6 lead on the Marlins. Justin Bour has a home run on the Miami side. Chris Davis, not one, but two for the Brewers. Seventh inning in Arlington, the Rangers lead Seattle 3-2. Mark Trumbo has a home run on the Seattle side. Bottom of the first out of Petco in San Diego, Padres and Braves are scoreless. Oakland has a run at the bottom of the first against the Dodgers. It's 1-0. They're in the second now. Speaking of the Dodgers, according to reports, they just acquired Chase Utley. Jay Berman.
Before you set your fantasy football team, listen to Eye on Fantasy Football, Saturday nights at 10 Eastern.
I'm Patrick Siner with your community calendar on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. Brought to you by R.P. Lee Termite and Pest Control, shielding and protecting homes against pests for over 30 years. For more information, visit rpleepestcontrol.com. Grimes County Back to School Health and Safety Day is today from noon to 5 at the fairgrounds in Navasota. Free school supplies, health screenings, and door prizes. The Bridge Ministries invites the public to a night out in downtown Bryan on Friday from 5 to 9. The night includes stops at Madden's, LaSalle Cafe, and the Chocolate Gallery. Tickets are $50. Proceeds benefit the Bridge Ministries. Lone Star Running Project is a new mentoring program where youth ages 13 to 18 will train with adult mentors 3 times per week to run a half marathon. Learn more about becoming a mentor at LoneStarRunning.com. Today, a 30% chance of rain, partly sunny and 96. Tonight, 50% chance of showers, mostly cloudy and 76. The Zone headquarters in Houston will be at the Holiday Inn, NRG. You can stop by for the pregame show. You can stay the night after the game or look for game day parking. For more information, visit the events tab at zone1150.com.
It has been said that life insurance is not for the dead, but for the living. Herman Sons has helped create better lives for men, women, and children in Texas since 1861. Built on family values and friendship, Herman Sons serves Texans with a Texas-sized heart. Unlike other life insurance companies, when you're part of the Herman Sons family, you'll see exactly where your money is going, right into our own Texas communities. Become a member of the Herman Sons family today and enjoy what that unique membership means. Life insurance protection tailor-made for your family's needs, plus summer camps and dance classes for your children, community service opportunities for the entire family, and a home for your retirement years. Big family, big hearts. The right kind of life insurance for Texans. That's Herman Sons. Find out more at HermanSons.org. That's HermanSons.org. Or call 800-234-4124. Herman Sons Life Insurance. For Texans, by Texans.
It's summertime and a great time for sizzling hot deals at Normandy Tractor. If you need an affordable Kubota tractor to get the job done and you need it now, come see Vernon and the guys at Normandy Tractor. At Normandy Tractor, you'll find a huge selection and great prices on all Kubota tractors and utility vehicles. And right now, get the best deal of the summer with the Kubota L2501F 25 horsepower two-wheel drive tractor with a 5-foot land pride shredder complete with an $800 finance rebate and a $500 cash rebate. Only $11,695 or 10% down in payments of only $156 per month. Normandy asks you, why buy used when you can buy new with prices and payments as low as these? Need to finance? Normandy makes it easy with zero down payment and 0% financing on all new Kubota tractors and lawn equipment. And remember, most any trade can be your down payment. Normandy Tractor, voted best of the Brazos since 2002. Remember to shop the internet specials at normandytractor.com. Located at the corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Normandy, Texas. And remember, nobody beats Normandy Tractor.
Missed Chip Howard yesterday? Miss him again today. 4 to 6 on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
And now it's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Welcome back. Second hour, Aggie Nation, Aubrey Bloom, Richard Krum. We are brought to you by MSE Opus. Check out all the events coming to the season that dreams are made of at MSEOpus.org. Lots of good stuff on there and information on all the cool events and cool shows. So check that out, MSEOpus.org. You can text us 229-1939 or call us 693-1150. Tell a lot of random stuff in the first hour. I'm being annoyed today, Krum. I've got a this one isn't so much that I'm annoyed by it, but it's that it's, and I wanted to have the conversation with y'all as well, so I want y'all to text in during this. 229-1939. My question is simple, Krum. Why can't a quarterback platoon system work? That's the question. Because it seems like everyone assumes it can't. And the Ohio State quarterbacks both spoke out today. I get why no player would want to be in one. Right, I get that. If you're JT Barrett, you don't want to be splitting series with Cardale Jones. I understand why you wouldn't want to be in one. But that doesn't mean it can't work. You know, and my thing about this is, why is quarterback some sort of like mystical position that can't deal with all the team aspects of literally every other position in every other sport, Krum?
So you're not going to buy like the rep excuse, like, you know, like we need to get this quarterback as many reps as we can during the week.
No, I mean in a game.
But if you're going to do it in a game, you have to split them during the week too.
That seems like the advantage to me. Like, you could have one do these set of plays in these situations and the other one with these set of situations.
But then you're also having to do more, which means you get less practice.
No, you don't. You got a first-team offense and a second-team offense. You just let one quarterback be with one throughout the week and the other one be with the other one and practice the things they're going to do and mix them up as well. To me, this is...
So then you'd have your whole... So in other words, you're not just talking about platooning a quarterback. You're talking about platooning a whole... unit.
Everybody but the offensive line, pretty much.
Okay.
I just don't see why it won't work. I mean, is there some, like, reason?
Part of it is you don't have your best players on the field all the time.
Okay, but they do that anyway. Every other position rotates in and out of the game.
But not, well, it's platoon, but it's, you know, it's almost more like most of the like giving the starter a break one series or something like that.
No, I'm not, and I'm not saying that you would have it like, okay, and I'm just going to use A&M as an example, even though I don't mean that A&M should do this, but just we're familiar with A&M's quarterbacks, so we're just going to use A&M's quarterbacks. I'm not saying that like Kyle would get James White and Speedy Noyle, Ricky Seals-Jones, and Christian Kirk, and then Kyler would get Trey Carson and, you know, whoever else is out there. You know, Josh Reynolds and, you know, splitting them up like that. I'm not saying that. But the thing is, the receivers, if you run a long route, then you come off the field because you're probably tired and someone else goes in. The running back, you make a big play or you get hit, you come off the game, the other running back goes in. They sub in and out all the time with no problem. Why can't the quarterback do that? It's literally like the only position in sports that has this sort of like, oh, he's got to be out there on the field for leadership purposes, like thing about him.
But I also think he has, but unless, in cases what you're talking about, case like what Johnny used to do, you know, you might want to take him off because he was winded or something like that. But, I mean, for the most part, they're not winded. So you want your best player on the field. The reason some of the best players are taken off the field is because they are winded, and the next guy might be, you know, the next guy at 100% might be better than your guy that you just took off the field.
Yeah, well, I'm also not suggesting that every team should do this. Certainly,
you're just saying teams that have situation like Ohio State has, like A&M could have.
Well, and Ohio State and A&M are similar too, where they have different skill sets. I also get it if one quarterback, Kenny Hill and Kyle Allen, very similar quarterbacks. They're both mobile enough, but neither one's really a runner, and they were pocket passers. So I get it there. Whichever one's the better one, you want on the field because he's the better one at doing all of those things. But that's not always the case. I mean, for example, Kyler is a much better runner than Allen. Now, Allen is plenty fast enough, and he had the run in the bowl game and
did well.
And he can move if there's an open pocket. But you're not going to be running a whole lot of designed runs with Allen, like you could potentially with Murray, but it just seems like coaches are in the same with Ohio State. Cardale Jones is huge; he's like Ben Roethlisberger, and JT Barrett is more of a dual threat guy. So again, a similar situation there where you could have a quarterback who's maybe not better, you know, in their case, they might both be 98 quarterbacks, you know, out of a scale of 100. But let's say you've got a 95 guy and a 93 guy. Well, if your 95 guy gets a little winded, why not throw the other guy in there for a play?
No, that's what you just said it, though. Like, if he is winded, why not? Or a series. I think it's kind of neat to when you have that different of quarterbacks to throw the one guy in there for a series and run a little different offense
that the defense didn't prepare for,
or at least didn't have as much time to prepare for.
I'm very, very anti only having – before we dive into some of the text, I want to clarify this. I don't like having a guy as like a wildcat quarterback because then everyone knows what you're going to do. I'm not suggesting that like – and again, Kyler, for example – I'm not suggesting that he comes in and has like three plays that he has to work with, but I'm saying if maybe he has a few extra plays. But you can still run your regular offense. He can still throw it. And again, I'm also not saying that he's as good as Allen. We haven't seen enough to know. He might be way behind Allen, and that's why you would want Allen.
But we're not
even
talking that, right?
But yeah, we're just talking hypothetically.
The whole situation.
But yeah, it just seems like coaches just are absolutely opposed to it. And we've seen it once, and someone's already texted it in. It's the one that everyone hears about, Tim Tebow, Chris Leak at Florida.
Right.
Where essentially Tim Tebow was a short yardage back. I mean, he was effectively a wildcat back. When he was in, they were pretty much running the ball straight up the middle. Or he would do that stupid jump pass thing that he did.
Which works.
Yeah, it worked, whatever. like I said, it's, for some reason, it's the only position in all of sports that's like that. Right? I mean, can you think of another one?
No, not really. I mean, and I think part of it also is the relationship between the head coach and a quarterback.
Right, but that again goes back to my point. I think this is a lot of mysticism.
Like, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's almost like the head head coaches just want that relationship with the one guy. This is my guy type thing.
Got some texts.
You can't put You can't have a second guy and put him in.
Someone
I kind of agree with that.
Someone said, because quarterback is de facto leader, one leader or no leader on the field, quarterback cadence is also vastly different. Too many variables that could fail. One, these days, there's not a cadence for a team unless you're a pro-style team.
Right.
And if you're a pro-style team, then you're only recruiting pro-style quarterbacks. And in that situation, one of them is going to be probably better than the others. So I could kind of get why you're not going to do that. But in a no huddle like what A&M runs, there's not really a snap count. I mean, that isn't a huge difference. And the leader thing, though, goes back to my question is why? Like, why does the quarterback have to be the one guy that can't, be subbed out for?
Part of it is all the rest of the players have to adjust to the quarterback. Whereas I don't think the quarterback.
But if you practiced it, they wouldn't have to. I mean, the quarterback's got
to
adjust.
Then you're going back to how many reps do you get? And
the quarterback's got to adjust to the players too. How you throw a deep ball for Speedy Noyle is not the same as you throw it for Ricky Seals-Jones. Those are very different size, speed. The way that they attack the ball could be different. I mean,
all three of those guys would be on the field at once.
Okay,
anyway.
But a quarterback has to learn the intricacies of, seven wide receivers? They can't learn the intricacies of two quarterbacks? I mean, it doesn't seem that difficult. I don't know. I'm not necessarily saying that A&M should do this. Again, I want to make that clear before everyone says, starts texting in.
That's an idiot.
Yeah, well, it starts texting in that,
that you're too annoyed today?
Well, my major – I just did A&M because we're familiar with them a lot more. I said Kyle Allen, in my mind, is probably so far ahead of Allen throwing the ball that it's not that close of a competition. And if Allen was coming in, it'd be pretty obvious what they were going to do. But, there's other teams where they are close. We talk about JT Barrett and Cardale Jones. Someone said, don't think platoon can't work. It's just so rare that so many people are mistrustful of it. The only one in recent memory that really worked was Leak Tebow. Sermon says, certainly it can't work at the next level. And again, though, then you're getting into sort of the homogeny of quarterbacks at the NFL. Someone said, think people like stability, running such an important position, in and out seems unstable. That's from Jack in Indianapolis. See, in the NFL, almost every quarterback is so alike each other that there's no benefit to doing it. There's only a handful of scramblers in the NFL, Russell Wilson and...
Well, and I think we've already figured out that how many really good quarterbacks are... I mean, there's not two for every team. I mean, you just don't...
Yeah.
Very rarely do you have a team...
There's not one
that
for
has,
every team.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying that. There's not even a really good starter for every team in the NFL. So there's not going to be too many teams that have two that could start and, and like you say... pretty much run the same way, have the same efficiency.
Yeah, and then see someone else, Roger Staubach and Craig Morton for the Cowboys disaster, said hashtag ghost of Tom Landry.
Well, and those two are different type quarterbacks, too.
And then someone said, someone said Craig Morton, Roger Staubach, how'd that turn out? The thing is, it hasn't been tried all that much, so there's obviously famous examples of it not working out. But then the thing is, you have to be committed to the idea, is part of this. If you're a coach that's going to try it, you've got to be committed to it. Now, we saw this a little bit of a good example of someone not committed to it is Mike Sherman doing that ridiculous Wildcat thing with Jamil Showers. That was pointless, because when he got into the game, everybody knew what was going to happen. You've got to be committed enough that you trust both quarterbacks to run the offense either way. And just whatever strength they have, you kind of factored in that. But it can't be, for example, if quarterback A is a 90 passing and an 80 rushing, and quarterback B is a 90 rushing and an 80 passing, then you can do both. Run both things without much fall off. But if the quarterback B is a 40 passing and a 90 rushing, well, then everyone knows he's going to run it when he goes in. So you've got to be able to balance that part out.
I don't think they platooned, but a perfect example of bringing in a guy like what you just said. They're going to run, but Oklahoma did it when Bell was the quarterback. You've already mentioned Bell in the show. And
yeah.
When he was the quarterback, you knew he was.
But see, that's another example of them not being committed to it. I mean, they would run the
committed,
ball.
Yeah, they were committed to doing bringing him in and
yeah,
in
but
certain
see,
situations.
Right, but they were going to definitely run it. They weren't going to, like, you know, let him run a whole series. I mean, basically, he'd run that read option or whatever.
Yeah, or he might stay in for a series if they're down near the goal.
I'd be interested to see if a coach had two quarterbacks that were very close to each other in skills, just say, hey, you know what, we're going to play them both, and just go until one gets tired and pull him out. And for a guy like Manziel, if you'd had a backup that could play like him, that would have been helpful, because there were games where he was gassed.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I still think that's the main reason they lost to LSU in 2012, was that he was exhausted. He ran himself out in the first half, and then the second half, he was just done. He had nothing left. And it was that 11 o'clock game. It was hot, and he was just running all over the place. And I really think that's why they lost the game there. If you'd had a guy that could come in and run the offense for one drive or something, it would have helped out a lot. So, like I said, I would just love to see a coach do it, just flat out. And I don't mean situational, like Leak and Tebow.
If you did do it, would you do it series-wise, or would you, like, okay, you got a half, or you got a quarter, you got the next
No,
quarter.
It would just be whenever. I mean, as soon as the
just
one...
Just whenever you have a feeling.
It'd be like in basketball. You've got a starting point guard, and you've got a backup point guard. And if your starting point guard gets tired, you put the backup in for a little bit. Now, is he quite as good? No, but he can still run the offense. And if you get to put the guys around him, you don't put all your backups in at the same time. You know, maybe when he's in, you run the ball a little bit more or whatever. You don't do as many downfield throws. But just give him a little bit of a break. Like I said, I'd like to see a coach try it to see what would happen. But it's like never happened.
Yeah, but I'm of the kind that, except for Manziel, which you were right. I mean, I think they lost two or three of those games because he just got totally
winded.
Yeah. And was just and beat up a little bit like.
Well, the Auburn game, yeah, he was
bit
absolutely
like
RG3,
beat up. You know, up in Baylor. I mean, A&M did that to RG2. It was like, okay, you go ahead and do everything you want, but we're going to hit you every play, and by the third or fourth quarter, you're going to be absolutely toast.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
You're not feeling it?
No.
I want to see somebody do it. I want to see a two quarterback.
No, but what I was going to say there was if you don't have a guy like Manziel who's having to do everything like that, who's, you know, is probably running as much as anybody on the field each play. Why do you even need to replace a quarterback? I mean, the fact that he gets a break when he's on off defense. I mean, how much of a break do they get in between possessions?
Again,
this
goes back to not every quarterback.
If you can't run six or seven plays every 20 minutes, which is about what they do nowadays.
Not every quarterback would need it, but I'm talking about just certain, you know, certain teams, certain, like somewhere in the history of football, there's got to be someone that would have benefited to do that. Now, again, if you've got a pro-style quarterback who doesn't run very often, then yeah, you can leave him in the whole game and it's not much fall off. He throws the ball as well in the fourth quarter as he did in the first quarter, but maybe your offensive line's not very good. You're getting your quarterbacks beat up or something. I don't know. But like I said, I'd like to see it. Is what I'm saying. There's just this mysticism around quarterback that doesn't seem to apply.
Go up
else.
To Ohio
with my boy.
You might get to see it.
I thought you meant with my guy. That's the D3 or whatever coach, the high school coach that's doing the never punt.
Oh no!
You heard his new thing this year.
No,
they're not. They're gonna lateral. You're working on lateraling on plays.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's his
like,
new thing
like
this year.
Like the plays the last play of the half?
Like every play.
Yeah,
they're going to run every play like that. Because
yeah.
I've wondered that, too.
Yeah,
and again,
like,
this is getting
teams
into...
Teams seem to score on those, so it's like, why not?
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to get at.
Plus, you might get good at it if you practice doing that.
Well, that was going to say. I didn't mean to start this conversation to say that, you know, one quarterback systems are awful. I just like to, you know, whatever you want to say.
Different.
Yeah, deconstruct the game sometimes and see if you can find an advantage somewhere. Like I'm with him on the never punting thing. I would almost never punt. I would punt every now and then, but I'm not quite to his, like, never, ever punt. But
well,
I said that
a couple years back when for teams that were playing A&M. To me, it was like stupid. I mean, if you were playing A&M, they were going to score anyway. So they're either going to score from if you gave the ball to them
at the
40
or the 30,
or if you punted and they had to take it 80 yards. It was just going to be a matter of not even that much longer. It was just going to be a matter of 15, 20, 30 seconds longer.
Yeah, and also
back when they were scoring at will almost there.
And I would onside kick about every time,
yeah,
too. I would. We talked about that with Duke. They should have done that the whole game. But Anyway, there's just a few random thoughts for there. We got to get to a break. We'll come back. We got some more texts we got to get to, so we'll get to that when we come back. Aggie Nation powered by the Eagles, Sports Radio 1150, The Zone FM 102.7.
For well over 10 years, Intercon has been telling consumers that vinyl windows are the best option for this climate. Now, there are a number of vendors offering a vinyl solution, but don't be misled. All vinyl windows are not the same. Changing the windows in your home is a major investment that you only want to do once. Ask to see a sample window and use your common sense. Does the window look and feel solid and substantial? Look at how the window operates. Does it have a continuous balance system or a cheap setup with pulleys and strings? Ask about the U factor and solar heat gain coefficient, which are standard energy performance metrics. Finally, ask about who will be installing the window and who will be standing behind the warranty. At Intercon, we use the Burris TechView line of windows made to our size specifications installed by Intercon full-time employees. We stand behind our products with industry-leading limited lifetime warranties. Trust your neighbors at Intercon with all of your window needs.
Whether you have new construction or an existing home, let the fine folks from Intercon help your home energy efficiency year-round. Call Brad Beard of Intercon today at 823-3639. That's 823-3639.
Water. Every living thing needs it to survive. The Texas economy runs on water, too. In fact, Texas will continue to be one of the fastest growing states in the nation, with our population expected to reach almost 30 million by the year 2020. The more people who live here, the more our economy grows, the higher the demand for water for steam-generated electricity. The water we conserve today can serve us tomorrow. This important message brought to you by the Texas Water Foundation and the Texas Association of Broadcasters.
At Schlitterbahn, there's so much for my family to do. We need a checklist. Miles of slides, rivers, and waves? Check. Plus, Schlitterbahn welcomes picnics and has free parking and tubes. Estimated savings of $100? Check. We also love how we can float the day away and enjoy so much family fun together. Packing our summer with amazing memories? Definitely check. Hold on to every moment at Schlitterbahn.
Get discounted tickets and plan your stay at Schlitterbahn.com.
Every doctor in every field of medicine wants to be a patient's first choice. Every health and wellness professional wants to be a patient's first choice. To make this happen, you first need a partner capable of delivering a powerful marketing message. That partner is Brazos Wellness Magazine, a local publication filled exclusively with local articles. For more information about Brazos Wellness Magazine, contact Brian Broadcasting or email Sam at brianbroadcasting.com.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
Listen to The Zone, 102.7 in Sports Radio 1150 on your smartphone, tablet, or PC. Visit RadioAggieLand.com.
Welcome back. I'm trying to figure out the trade deadline. Because I thought there was a trade deadline, but now there's a trade in the Major League Baseball room. What's the deal with that?
I'm telling you, it has to do with waivers. I mean, where teams can essentially say it's not going to happen. Or, you know, we want Utley.
The Phillies are apparently sending Chase Utley to the Dodgers for two minor league players. I don't... This seems like a trade to me, Krum. I don't understand how this is...
It is a trade.
But then how is
but
it...
But it's kind of got to go through the rest of the league type thing.
The rest of the league should vote it down. No trades after the trade deadline.
One team could.
By the way, someone said setter in volleyball. It's a similar...
Oh, good point.
Is it? I thought they'd come in and out all the time.
No. Most of the time, your setter is the person there's one person there. Now, if that setter's having trouble, they might bring somebody in, or if team's not doing well for a little bit, they might replace that person for a little while. And then there are actually though you would like this, because there are some teams that run two setters so that their setter is always in the back line. So they are split right
platoon
there.
Platoon setters.
Yeah, yeah, they have platoon setters because they'll always be in the back line. That way they don't have to.
I admittedly was unfamiliar with the
They can have three people who attack.
They don't get distraught because one setter's leadership isn't being seen across the entire field.
No, I guess
unbelievable.
Volleyball coaches are just more,
they don't obviously know. They don't know what they're talking about.
Volleyball coaches are just better, obviously.
Obviously, they don't get it.
Know how to adjust.
They don't know what that leadership that the one setter had meant to the team. Someone else said Craig Morton and Roger Staubach again. And then someone said Vandy played four quarterbacks last year. How did that work out? Vandy was horrible, though.
Yeah, but that was because
there's a difference between playing multiple quarterbacks.
If they played four,
it's
because three didn't work out, and the other one they weren't sure about still.
I'm just saying I want to see it. Someone out there come up with a two quarterback situation that works. I think Ohio State should do it. The quarterbacks are like, we don't want to play in a platoon. Well, get over yourself. Everyone else has to share reps. You have to share reps. You're a quarterback. Not the Pope.
Wow.
Well, the
you've reached your annoyance has reached a new level.
Well, that's the whole thing. Quit it. I just don't. It's annoying me. I don't understand it. I was reading an article this morning, and they were like, "Oh, we don't want to split reps. One guy's going to be the leader of the team." This, you know, leadership. I've said this before. Leadership's a little overrated too, as far as in that sense, the only one guy can be the leader of the team. Sense. I don't know, Kroom. Let's up the mood. We got a little bit. We got like a couple more minutes before the high school report.
You're going to be responsible for upping the mood.
Okay, well, I'm about to. You ready for this?
You're the one who's been the mood.
You ready for this? I put segment two, baseball talk, because last night, Marwin Gonzalez walked off for the Astros in the 10th inning. That was exciting. Astros are back.
They're back?
Yeah, they like to have these little peaks and valleys that they've had lately.
Well, most of them deal with whether or not they're on the road or at home. There are peaks and valleys.
Yeah, although Kazmir lost a game at home the other night. That wasn't very good. Gave up four runs
in the
first
inning.
You're not
going to win everything, and you're not going to lose everything, but majority-wise.
By the way, someone mentioned the center is a good one. And the reason, because I mentioned that the offensive line, he wouldn't rotate in and out. The reason there is because there's a few things. One, you're usually just the best. The backup center probably doesn't have anything to add. You know, the backup quarterback could. Maybe he's got a little bit quicker feet, a little bit stronger arm, whatever the case may be. Their backup center is usually just not as good as your starting center. You know, I hope people get what I'm saying there. There's not, I mean, yeah, a skill set. Offensive linemen do have skill sets. Jokel and Matthews were more athletic technicians, to where Jermaine Effetti is sort of just like a powerful, you know, he might not be as technically sound as a Jake Matthews, but he makes up for it with his physicality, you know, but still, you're just better than the next guy. Like, you're not going to throw off a defensive line because you brought in a different offensive tackle or anything. But, I mean, maybe you could. I don't know.
I just think that the offensive line has to work as a unit. So if you're replacing one guy here and one guy there, and the center starts it all, so your center.
Yeah, but again, see, I go back to though.
The center is what I'm saying. There is the center is the guy that's going to be the least likely to be replaced or platooned as you want.
Well, and the other thing though, like I said though, your backup center probably doesn't have anything to add, or he would be the starting center. Right? Does that make sense? It's kind of it's like what I talked about with pro style quarterbacks. You're not going to platoon two quarterbacks that have the same skill set. You would only do it if, you know, adding another quarterback added some dimension to your offense that you didn't have previously. Anyway, someone texted, Astros are not back. They won't win the division. They're still the Astros. Ooh. Don't worry. Yeah, they're going to win the division. They're going to. I believe in the Astros. However, I did say a while back that they had to find a way to be close when Springer comes back because it was going to be a storm to weather. That's still a ways away. But stupid Rangers, Kroom. They're like,
no.
They're like, they're in. They're back. They're done. It's gonna be like the Astros Rangers duel for the division that
so
we've
you're
all been
throwing hyped. The Angels completely out of it.
Yeah, I don't believe in them.
Okay, especially now that Trout seems to be.
I don't
slumping.
Believe in the Angels. Hate them. Don't like them.
Jeez.
I know they're actually good, but I don't like them. Just because Pujols plays for them mostly. I'm a hater. I'm a hater, Kroom. It's Hating Wednesday.
I don't think they're a great team, but
it's time for the high school
win that division.
Let's talk. By the way, I don't know how this is supposed to work, because now that I'm going to be on the broadcast for Brian, we're going to be talking Consol next segment. Am I supposed to be, like, fired up, angry? I don't know how it works, Kroom. Got to figure it out.
You're supposed to question everything.
Question everything. The high school report is coming up next. Supposedly Mike Wright is here.
He's here.
He's here? All right. We're going to talk Consol when we come back. Aggie Nation powered by the Eagles. Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW, I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. 10 occupants and 24 firefighters escaped injury from a fire at a fourplex in College Station yesterday on Navarro Drive off Welsh, south of Consolidated High School. Battalion Chief Robert Mumford says the cause is under investigation. A combination of heat generated by the fire and winds gusting to 30 miles an hour resulted in damage to an adjacent building and two parked vehicles. A Brazos County jail inmate died yesterday morning. According to Sheriff Chris Kirk, the death of 44-year-old Melvin Earl Jones is believed to be from natural causes. The sheriff says Jones was in a holding cell in the medical department waiting to see the doctor. Jones was taken by ambulance to the hospital where he was pronounced dead. The sheriff says an autopsy will be done along with investigations by his department and the Texas Rangers. The College Station School Board has settled on the size of its next bond issue. Voters will be asked in November to approve nearly $136 million. Superintendent Clark Ely says the district owns land that could be the home of a third middle school, a third intermediate, and a 10th elementary school.
We have one piece of property that is north of Greens Prairie Elementary that you could put an intermediate, middle, or elementary school on. It's big enough for all three of those. Next to Greens Prairie Elementary is big enough for an intermediate or an elementary. And we have one piece of property that's west of Welburn Road and just north of Rock Prairie on Holloman Drive South, and that's big enough for an elementary.
Voters are also being asked for money to buy more land, renovate the current 5th through 8th grade campuses, do deferred maintenance, and buy buses and technology. Details are on our website at WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Spirit Ice Arena is cooling things down this summer with a schedule packed full of icy activities for you and your family. Our sensational summer camps have already begun and will continue throughout the summer. Ages 5 to 12 are welcome. We offer private skating lessons, Zamboni lessons, broom ball, hockey, and more. Plus, we host the coolest birthday parties in town. Come chill out with us during public skate open 7 days a week. For more information on all the cool things we have to offer, visit spiriticearena.com today. That's spiriticearena.com.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone, think of the businesses sponsoring the games of your favorite team.
Businesses like Schulte Roofing, Prosperity Bank, and Subway.
Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Texans are teaming up to reduce teen pregnancy.
We're teaming up by starting the conversation.
We're teaming up to educate our community.
We're teaming up to mobilize a coalition.
When it comes to reducing teen pregnancy in our communities,
we're teaming up to make a difference.
OurTownForTeens.org is helping communities all over Texas reduce teen pregnancy by putting the resources you need at your fingertips. OurTownForTeens.org. Team up. We can do this.
Welcome to the season that dreams are made of. The stars have aligned for a positively enchanting new Opus season. The main stage lineup features Beauty and the Beast, sponsored by Aggieland Credit Union, Million Dollar Quartet, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, Disney in Concert, magical music from the movies, and an opening night concert starring Voice Play, sponsored by Allstate. Season and single tickets on sale now at mscopus.org.
This is the Zone FM 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150. Now it's time for the High School Report, covering all the local sports action in the community on Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle.
Welcome Welcome back. Time for today's high school report brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozer is proudly supporting the youth of our community. David, sometimes we have the youth on the phone. He's not a youth, but you brought him in. He's here.
He's a youth to me.
Yeah, he's here in the newsroom.
Yeah, and Mike Wright's joined us today, a longtime friend, former partner on radio broadcasts, and Mike, I don't even know what your title is now at KWTX in Waco. You've probably got all kinds of
It is exactly like
stuff.
It is at KBTX. It's an even thing. You know, they think you're doing you a favor. All they did was just add work. That's basically what they did and said, you need to get out of town, and it's like, right. I don't know, but it's like VP general manager, some kind of a deal like that. Basically, I kind of like a ringmaster. That's what I figured out this job is like. It's highly overrated.
Okay, still could come back here and do any of those food segments that you used to do? Because
I still do. Yes, good. We have our next record date for Christopher's Kitchen on the docket.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'll be there.
That's a good gig, by the way.
Yeah, it's a great gig.
All right, let's talk about how many years now you've been doing the A&M Consolidated games, and you're going to do them again this year.
Well,
right?
Yeah, this is going to be season number 24 for A&M Consolidated. So I got a lot of kids that have been those of some players in the past that have come up through the program too, and you know, I kind of like that. This is what my wife calls my hunting and fishing. You know, I really have enjoyed it for years with just only one other team really in my history. So 24 years is what I'll be starting.
Boy,
next Friday night.
That's pretty impressive that one of those really good coaches came through. They didn't run you off.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's right. And there hadn't been that many if you think about it. For some high schools, I'm only on the third coach there.
All right, but those three coaches, let's talk about those guys. One of them still coaching in the general vicinity here now. Ross Rogers is over at Bryan, and you had a long run with Ross over there. Jim Slaughter, who just retired, and I can't imagine Jim Slaughter's really retired. He's probably going into the professional golf tour or something that. And now with David Raffield there, they're different kind of guys, but all of them just outstanding coaches.
You know, every one of them are different, and every one of them came at the right time that Consolidated need to go a little bit different direction. Ross was there at a time when Consolidated was hungry just to win a ball game. Had a good pedigree, went on a great run. My first game to do was for a cable broadcast here, though, through then. It wasn't even Cox. I forget what the name of it was at the time. But anyway, that was a cable broadcast of Consolidated in the state championship game against Carthage, which they won. And then I had an opportunity to do it the next year when Consolidated played against Waxahachie for the championship of the Astrodome.
All right. If I remember correctly, that Carthage game, you and I had just done a broadcast there because we did the Groesbeck game prior to doing that A&M Consolidated game.
That is correct. We had a quick turn on that because the Goats won the state championship, and that was my first broadcast for Consolidated football in that year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Boy,
it was a fun little run, I got to say.
That was a pretty good day. We had a good day.
And you know what? I'm just happy that Ross is back on the field. We knew that golfing, whatever he was selling, widgets, some sort of memory boards or something, salt tablets, chin straps.
Yeah,
he was hawking something just to get a free golf game when you go call on, you know, some of Walski and some of his buddies. But now he's back on the field. He belongs there. And I think what happened at Bryan last year and what they're poised to perhaps do again this year, that's what makes the sport great is guys like him never lose the fire. And that is exactly what Bryan needed to bring that program out of the also-rans. And I felt sorry for Marty during his time there. I thought Marty Criswell was a fabulous coach. Actually did one of his games when they played Richfield High School against Denison when Marty was a head coach.
It was one
of the playoff games there. Fine man. But something happened along the way, and Bryan has caught fire again. And I'm really happy for Ross on that.
All right. Well, let's talk about the other two guys that you did work with. Jim Slaughter, a different kind of guy. Jim Slaughter, though, is one of those guys. And I was fortunate enough to work some of those games when Jim Slaughter was the coach with you there. And Jim Slaughter is one of those guys, if he tells you it's going to happen, it's probably going to happen.
Gentleman of a guy. And I will say, you know, we mentioned Ross a minute ago, and I think that 5A, the move to 5A was not kind to Ross. I think it played a mental number on Ross. It played it for Consol. They had one playoff year. Jim Slaughter was a 5A coach. I mean, he had been in those programs before, a little more hard-nosed old school, but brought in some pretty exciting stuff. And then they became kind of predictable. Slaughter moves on, and they bring in a totally different package with David Raffield, who I had an opportunity, I think, to see when he played against Bryan here at Viking Stadium just a couple of years before, because it was a non-conference game against his team.
Cy Falls,
yeah. And so Raffield comes up, and the first year, awful. And he said, just wait. We're trying to get our system in place. And the system got in place. And right now, how do you stop a David Raphael team? That's the challenge right now, because they will outperform you. Brian Cope will outcall you on offense. So he's brought an entirely exciting new brand of football to this area, and was one of the – golly, he really was the one that brought the run and gun into this area.
Yeah, he did. The thing I miss about Jim Slaughter is that occasionally he would buy us a meal.
Occasionally
so,
he would.
You know, and so
Raphael ain't opening his wallet.
Yeah,
I'll tell you right now.
So something's got to be done.
Yeah, that's right.
If Jim wants to move back in the area, we'll be happy to have him here.
That's
we need to get that out of the way. But,
exactly.
All right, tell me about the team this year and your thoughts about I think they with Tyree Merchant, they may have the best, maybe the best overall player in the district. Certainly the best running back, at least at the beginning of the year.
Tyree is deceiving. His line of sight, the cuts that he makes at just the right time. He was exciting a couple of years back, but I'm telling you, I think the kid's going to be on fire this year. I look forward to seeing him run behind an offensive line that, frankly, has just a little bit more experience this year. Last year, that was the big trump card for Consolidated. I mean, they got the running backs. Can you protect the quarterback and execute the Cope Raphael offense? I think they stepped up and did that to a degree. Merchant's going to be good. The quarterback, Mason Hickson, I think his best days are ahead of him. I think he's going to be loaded back there in the pocket. And you've got a good group of receivers that came on late in the year. I think they're going to be in fine shape offensively. That's pretty exciting.
Well, and I think they are. They've been good, as you mentioned, since that second year when Coach Raphael got here. What about defensively? Because that has been the problem, it seems.
David, you know, I think you brought me into an area that you know that I don't have much of a filter. I was pretty plain about the defense. Let me tell you how bad the thought. Yeah. And listen, this analogy probably may not make sense to a lot of people. The defense probably was as effective as Robin Ventura's defense against Nolan Ryan.
Ryan,
he was getting smacked in the face. I will tell you, I don't know. Dale Williams, a fine guy, and nobody's ever going to just point blame. Oh, it's got to be the coach. I got to think it's something in the system prepping those guys, but let's give everybody their due here. How do you defend some of the stuff that's really going on in high school football
today? I think that's become a problem for a lot of defensive coordinators. I would agree with that.
But it's got to have something to do with talent. We ran into some buzzsaws with Temple. We could not get anything going with Temple. So is it athletes? Is it training? Is it prep time? I don't know. I don't have the answer either. I have the joy of getting to be kind of that armchair quarterback. But let me tell you, when I talk about the defense being bad and having breakdowns, golly, I'm just calling it as I see it because I care. I do have a deep care for the team I'm calling for, though on radio, as you well know. I mean, you try to balance all that out, and especially now when you've got the games against Rutter, College Station, and Bryan. But when the Consol Tigers trip a little bit after this many years, I trip with them. They heard, I heard. And so the defense is going to be better. It's got to be better. They've got some experienced players. Ranazeski coming back is going to be good. I think Will is going to contribute well. Will Raphael.
Well, when he can, he's actually got an injury beginning of the season.
Okay, now see, I'm not up to date that far. Yeah. Will Vaughn will be another contributor on defense. And then you got another bunch of Daly's coming. You got Abel Daly coming up. I think there are only seven left.
Yeah, we had Daly's playing when I was doing the game.
I had Daly's playing in the 40s. Yeah. You kidding me? Yeah. I mean, they just keep coming. So he's going to be pretty strong as well. And I like the experience at some skill spots back there. I think the defense is going to be improved. They were not prepared to lose Riley Garner prior to the year.
Yeah.
And how do you fill those shoes? I mean, you don't. You can't just start a game right there in the 11th hour and have the replacement.
All right, he's good enough to be out at Texas A&M now,
right.
So but didn't play at all last season. So and they did have some pretty key injuries and off-the-field injuries last year.
They did. And here's the one thing, to wrap up the thing on defense, I want to say. You can't just outscore everybody. I mean, you can pull the trigger, you got a high-powered offense, but at some point, you're going to have to make some stops. And that's very difficult with this district. When you look what Rodney's doing over in Huntsville, I think they're the sleeper in the district, honestly. I think they're poised to turn the corner and make it a real interesting race.
Yeah. Anybody jump out? I think we got several teams that are kind of contending for a playoff spot. And Willis has got a strong class that's coming back.
Willis
this year,
does have a strong class. I was not last year. I know they were just getting underway. What was he in his first or second year there? I forget what their situation was. But not that impressed with Willis. But their skill players are all back. And we've been through enough seasons to know you get a lot of that playing time experience. And kids get hungry. It just takes one win to catch fire.
Mike, what did you think? What did you once we put everybody together in the district in town, what were your thoughts about how that worked out last year?
I loved it. I mean, I think that's exactly what high school football should be, is to develop these rivals. I mean, look, when Consolidated played College Station, there was an energy in that stadium that I've not seen in a very long time, if ever, at Tigerland. You'd have to go way back into the 90s to see that. And then, of course, you got Bryan and Consol. They're always going to, you know, put on a show. But I think Rutter, Bryan, when Rutter improves under their leadership, you'll have a good rivalry going. But I love what College Station High and Bryan are bringing. You got three teams right now that are right there at the top in the district, and it could go any way. It just depends on who's playing. So I love the fact that we're all in the same district.
Figures here to be an improved Rutter team this year, too.
Oh, that's
as well.
Good, yeah.
I don't know how many games they can jump up with the improvement, because everybody else is going to be pretty
everybody
good.
Everybody else is going to be good.
It's funny. I've talked to Glenn West down at Brenham. Glenn, we've talked about, boy, it would have been perfect if Glenn had been in here, too. And then I, the coaches that I talked to kind of said, wait, too much of a good thing.
That might have been
pushing it a little bit too far. So.
Like, keep the cousins across the river. I mean, we don't want to do all that kind of stuff there. But, you know, I thought about that. And did they – they're not – I'm sorry, I should know this. Are they in the same classification or did they drop?
Yeah, in the same classification.
So it's all, that's what I thought.
Right,
so they didn't drop
to be in
at all.
A different district. Right?
I got it. And this classification thing, when you explain it to people, when 6A came along, I mean, I pretty well, that was out of my capacity to do that for people. But let's keep this in mind. There was a time when Brenham would have been a great opponent for these teams over here, but these teams that were in 5A at the time, that Brenham was 4, they got nothing to gain and everything to lose by playing that classification. But I did like the matchup because Brenham is always going to bring their A game, and I thought that would always have been good to put on a non-district schedule, and frankly, a little surprised it doesn't fall into non-district.
We're talking to Mike Wright, who's starting his 24th season broadcasting the A&M Consolidated Tigers. Mark Green's going to be on the broadcast with you again
this year,
right? Yes, he
is. That's right. I think that's 7 or 8 for him, so he's getting on it there as well.
Mark did a lot of stuff behind the scenes because he was our statistician when I was working the games with you, and we had a lot of fun doing this stuff. You and I have done a lot of games beyond the Consol games, but probably more there as far as football, and I've always had a blast when we've had an opportunity to work with you.
I have liked the travel time and prepping for a broadcast, and we were talking about it just a minute ago, that after when you wonder who's going to be doing the ball games with you on Friday night, you always want to do that with somebody you like. And I know you said that you struck out this year finding somebody you like, so you got somebody else in there.
So
finally,
we settled for Aubrey.
Yeah, that's right. Aubrey's going to be in the booth. But anyway, it makes it so much easier. And I think that fans that listen, the thing is, there's an art to this, and I get it, but it's my hobby. It's not what I get paid to do. I do it because I love it, so I can work on it. I listen to other broadcasts. I have favorite broadcasters. But when you're working with someone side by side that knows when you're about to pause and you can jump in, basketball, as you know, is the most challenging to have a two-person broadcast.
Agreed.
But I do love football, and when you're in sync with the color analyst, it makes for a whole lot better broadcast.
Just one quick last question. You got any advice for – you know me very well. You got any advice for Aubrey about adapting to what I might do?
Yeah, because Aubrey, what you'll do is you'll look up and say, am I at the same game he's calling? You can never – no, I'm kidding. David is one of the most proficient play-by-play guys, especially in high school football. When I was doing the Aggie women's basketball, I called David in for one of the games when we had an opportunity, because I just love what the guy says. He's good at that. But let me tell you, you need to raise your game up, and that's a good thing. You're not in it to be just so-so.
Right.
You're in it to improve your craft, and you are with a gentleman of a guy and somebody that knows what he's doing.
Well, and I said this earlier.
I mean,
earlier,
you could be with Tim Snedler, let's be honest.
I said earlier in the show, I got to up my Brian knowledge now. I got a week to catch up on everything
For the record, I love me some Tim now. We all get along very well.
Yeah, we do.
At the Bryan Broadcasting Group. So,
there you go.
Mike, have fun.
Hey, thank you very much, David. It's been a blast. Thank you.
Should be a fun season. Looking forward to it. Starts in just over a week. Next Thursday night, the first night of high school football in the state of Texas. That's today's High School Report, brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozer is proudly supporting the youth of our community. We'll go to break, come back, and wrap up with the news. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 and Zone FM 102.7.
Cowboy, hook her up and spit her out. I know you're just just a country boy out hanging with your pals. And I know you think you're such a gift to all them pretty gals. But, hoss, I got to tell you straight, you better start to scoop. That dirty juice missed the spittoon and landed on my boot. Cowboy, hug her up and spit her out. It's vile and nasty, lewd and crude. Who let you off your leash? Man, the only thing that's built the air is the color of your teeth. I hate to say that macho mooch is bringing you more bad luck, but your girlfriend in them real tight jeans is riding in my truck. Cowboy, huck her up and spit her out. One seriously gross mouth. Another reason dipping does you dirty. Learn more at spititouttexas.org.
Water. Every living thing needs it to survive. The Texas economy runs on water, too. To grow our crops and for food processing, it takes 65 gallons of water to produce a single glass of milk and more than 1,400 gallons for a burger, fries, and a soft drink. Water. What would we do without it? The water we conserve today can serve us tomorrow. This important message brought to you by the Texas Water Foundation and the Texas Association of Broadcasters.
Hot is here. What did you expect in the Brazos Valley in August? But Rattlers has great food and drink specials to fill you up and quench your thirst. Check out these great specials. Jimmy Dean Blazing Hot Sandwich and any size fountain drink or coffee, only $2. Or a fully loaded ballpark hot dog, only $1 with your registered Rattlers Rewards card. Be sure to stop by after work for an 18-pack of ice-cold beer from the fine families of beer from Bud, Miller, and Coors, only $15.99. Rattlers. Friendly, clean, Texan.
Sweating through another barn burner at your team's bar?
Sure am.
Wish you had some ice-cold refreshment?
You bet.
Then Coors Light may be right for you. Could result in meeting new people, epic fist bumps, epic forearm bumps, epic or chest bumps, touchdown dancing, breakdancing, line dancing, dancing like nobody's watching, awesome refreshment, refreshment for the win, and one-of-a-kind Rocky Mountain cold refreshment. Ask your bartender for Coors Light today.
Definitely.
When cold refreshment calls, Coors Light answers. Frost-brewed Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. With great beer comes great responsibility.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil, and site preparation. Lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
Catch up on the Longhorns, the Big 12, and football from around the state with Cedric Golden of the Austin American-Statesman. Each Friday at 11:30 on the Louis Belina Show, powered by teamofnavasota.com.
To put too fine a pine on it, say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul.
Welcome back. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Aubrey Bloom, joined by Kelly Brown. We got hyped up for high school football last segment, so you're here to tell us what's going on out there. We get so psyched up in here, we don't even know what's going on.
There's also high school volleyball going on, Aubrey.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday.
Okay, let me just get right to it. Did you know that you live in a community that has supernatural goodness?
I did not know that.
You might think I'm doing like a cereal commercial or maybe granola, but what if I were to tell you that that is the new logo for the Convention and Visitors Bureau here in Bryan-College Station?
Well, it's logo or slogan?
Slogan, sorry. Correct me. Thank you. They're reworking the logo
be a weird logo. Is it like a big, just bunch of words wrapped around?
No. Get to it. Slogan.
Say it again.
Supernatural goodness. Not supernatural goodness.
Okay, well, when you
three
read
words.
It the first time, I thought you said supernatural.
That's why I said it slowly.
Which would have been, but it's, I would have liked supernatural goodness. Everyone knows I'm a big fan of you know, supernatural things, the X-Files and stuff
right,
like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's fine.
supernatural goodness?
I mean, if it isn't every community slogan, like, a great place to live, that was Brian's, you know, mm-hmm. it was on the signs for a while, mm-hmm. and then a piece, you know, they're all, I mean, you know.
I think a lot of people are going to be confused by the supernatural goodness.
I'm assuming there's going to be a period in there.
It sounds like food to me.
It does a little bit. That could be HEB's slogan, and it wouldn't feel out of place.
Mm-hmm.
So...
anyway,
that's fine.
So you can go online and you can read Caitlin Clark's story on the College Station City Council. There were some fireworks yesterday when the Convention and Visitors Bureau went before the City Council to ask for a 30% funding increase, which they were granted after a 2-hour discussion over it, in which one of the council members, Julie Schultz,